Boys and girls, and good morning, big boys and girls. Well, the story that I have for you today, actually, it was told to me by Pastor Velotti when I went to Pathways to Health. I went to his church, and he had a fascinating story, and I just had to tell it today. So, this is all based on Psalms 37. Well, I put it to Psalms 37 because the first verse says, just the first part, says, fret not thyself because of evildoers. Ooh. Well, before we get started, though, I'd like to have a short prayer because we're going to talk about some Bible verses while we're telling the story. So shall we bow our heads real quick? Dear Jesus, we thank you for your presence and we thank you for this Sabbath day. Please be with us like you were with Pastor Velotti's family. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, this story took place when he was 7 years old. And he said because of this story is why he became a pastor. I thought that was huge. The first thing that you have to understand is this happened at his house. So you have to get this picture in your mind. When you walk up the steps, you walk in the door. Well, there's kind of a hallway. And there's a wall, and there's a big wall, and it has a window in it, but the window was covered by a curtain. Well, you could go that way, or you could go that way. Didn't matter. Well, while this was happening, the pastor was standing here. Okay, so now you have that picture? You got to have that picture to understand the story. Okay, so he lived in the Ukraine, which is located in Europe, which is 5,695 miles from Wichita. So that means you can go to the west coast where the Pacific Ocean is, all the way to Atlantic Ocean on the east coast, and back, and then come back to Wichita. That's how far away it is. So that would take you about 2 weeks and about 2 to 3 days. So that's how far it is to travel there, many miles. Well, in the Ukraine, and I believe this happened in the 1980s, which for some of us that wasn't long ago. So, in the Ukraine, you couldn't worship, you couldn't go to church and worship God. They were very, very restricted. If you went to church, you got in trouble. Can you believe that? Oh, my. So, what they had to do, they had to worship in secret. It didn't stop them. They thought, we're going to do it anyway, but just in secret because they knew that God was there. Well, Psalms 37 tells us not to worry about the people doing bad things to us, but also not to be angry with them either. Well, one Sabbath, about 50 people came to his house for worship. So remember how his house was set up, right? So you had to come up the steps. Well, suddenly there was a knock at the door. And everyone went quiet. His mother went to answer the door. There were two soldiers standing there. They said, "We need to see your papers." She looked around the soldiers. She saw the 50 pair of boots and realized, oh, they don't see that. So she looked again to make sure those 50 pair of boots were there. And she looked at the soldier and she said, "Come in." She invited them in. I think an angel was covering those boots. But anyway, so they came in, both of them. One just kind of stood by the door and he waited patiently. So she walked around the wall and she looked at the people, 50 people, and she did this. And she went off the other direction to get the papers. Well, remember, the pastor as a 7-year-old boy, how many of you are 7? Ah, okay. So he was your age. So he's standing and he's watching this. So he's looking, his mother goes off the other direction, and he's standing there looking and waiting. Well, Psalms 37:4 says, to delight yourself in the Lord, and he'll give you the desires of your heart. The desire was for them to worship that day. Well, and they wanted to worship peacefully. So the people heard the soldiers come in because they had boots. And they knew that if they looked around that wall or opened that curtain, they would be found out. At this point, the pastor, the little boy, he's standing there thinking, what's going to happen? He knew that they were in danger. So his mother goes off. While she was gone, one of the soldiers, he got kind of antsy. And he started pacing back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. And then he goes up to the curtain. And he's standing there and he's looking at the curtain. He decides he's going to open the curtain. And his hand goes up. Then it stops. Then he puts it back down. He looks. And he's looking around. Remember, the pastor's standing there watching this. Then he thought, okay, so his hand goes up. Then it only goes so far. He goes back down. He gets real angry. He turns around. He looks at the other guy, and he said, let's go. There's nothing here. And they stomped out of the house past the 50 pair of boots that they didn't see again. Okay, remember, God sends angels, and when he says, this is what I'm going to do, and this is what I need you to do, he provides a way. Well, the pastor even said when he saw that happening, he kept looking for what was stopping the soldier's arm from going up. He believed that it was an angel too. Well, Psalms 37:4 says, I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. So, do you think those people were a little afraid? Do you think they were praying? Should we pray when we are afraid? Should we pray before we get afraid? Yeah. So, when we're doing something, remember, we can seek the Lord and we need to ask him to help us. So, let's have prayer real quick one more time. Let's bow our heads. Dear Father, we thank you for delivering us. We thank you for sending your angels and answering our prayers so quickly. And thank you, Lord, for this Sabbath day and for the blessing that you have given us already and the blessings that will come for the rest of the day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you.
We serve Almighty God, and it's our opportunity now to come before his throne. We have a special request to put out the blue card and bring it down and join me down the altar. volunteer gathered in before you, looking to you as the sovereign of the universe. All power is in your hands. We want to come first with our praise, praising you for the blessings of this past week, and also for the trials that have reminded us once again that without you we can do nothing, and that we need to look to you every moment for strength and for our sustenance. We want to thank you for each one that is gathered here, and we also want to thank you for the angels who are with us right now. And we pray especially for the Holy Spirit to be here so that the noise of the week can be quieted and you can listen to your voice. We pray that you will be speaking through Pastor Dryden this morning, that your words will be spoken to us.
Yeah.
I have these cards in my hand, and I know that there are many others who have their requests that they're wanting to bring to you right now. And that we know, that you already have an answer, already have a plan in place for every need.
Yes.
And I want to lift up a special way a young man, and the mom called the daily. And I'm not pronouncing it correctly, but you know who he is. A young man in St. Francis Hospital who's in real need of your healing touch to be on him as he is suffering the effects of diabetes. We'll just pray that you will be with him, be with the physicians and the nurses as they care for him, give them supernatural wisdom to know what to do. Pray that you would be with our church family. There are others among us who are suffering in various ways, physically and emotionally. We just pray that you would bless each situation. Please guide and direct us in this coming week. Pray that you would open doors where doors need to be opened for various ones. Give us words to speak that will bring encouragement or light to someone that comes that you're placing in our path.
Yes.
And Lord, we just lift all of these things up to you now. We come in Jesus' name. Amen.
I would like to ask Omari Chiari to come forward at this time. Omari and Ashlyn had a baby a few weeks ago, and the baby is just about almost 9 months old now, isn't that right? Born a little early?
Yes.
Don't be afraid. There's a microphone right here, and it's not going to attack you. I asked you to share something about how God led you. I mean, you've been, because of this new situation coming up, you were looking for work, and you had some difficulties with that, but how did God lead in your life into being able to provide now that your wife is home, she's caring for the baby, she was working as well. But share with us. We're talking, this is a stewardship moment. We have an offering coming up, as you can see in the bulletin, but we want to share, as we have done over a number of Sabbaths, some individuals' experience with stewardship. So go ahead, share with us.
Okay. The baby is not 9 months. She's just 4 weeks old, so that's a month. And this has been due. The pastor called me 4 weeks ago to come and share my testimony. But when he was calling me, I told him I'm receiving other blessings because we were at the hospital at the moment. So he called me the night where the baby was being born. So now we are here. But anyway, where do I start?
It was good stewardship of your time to spend that time with her rather than, yeah.
When the pastor called me earlier this week and told me that I was going to be here, I was really excited because I have so many things, because the Lord has just been working tremendously in my life the past couple years. And I was really excited, but as of last night, I told my wife, I don't know what I'm going to tell them. So I knelt down and said a prayer. And as of this morning, when I was getting off the shower just to come in here, I thought to myself, I don't have time because I have all these stories that I want to tell you and share with everybody.
We got to keep it short, brother.
I know. But for me, when it started all like a couple years ago when Pastor Nathan was here. And he started coming to our house, giving us Bible studies. So every single Monday, he stopped by our house diligently, just giving us Bible studies, which led us to me and my wife being baptized. And later on, a few days later, we got married here in our church. And our faith grew stronger and stronger because he didn't just stop. He kept coming. And then Pastor Nathan left. I thought my life was going to be broken down because I didn't know what kind of pastor we were going to have and how my relationship was going to be. Because I had put my life so much, I was relying on Pastor Nathan. But up until the other day, somebody mentioned something that we always, as Christians, we always just look up to mortal men, and that's not the way it's supposed to be. We need to be looking up to God because he's the one who sees everything before us. I started looking for work because I used to work at Hawker Beechcraft. I got laid off and I was without work for a long time. And I got a job at the post office, which was excellent. It paid really good. And me and my wife, we were really good. And the sad thing about it was they wanted me to work all through the night and Saturday and Sunday. I had given them a letter from the pastor, and that didn't go too well with them because they asked me, no matter what I did, I had signed up a contract that I was going to work every single day that they needed me. So I came to the pastor, and then he gave me another letter, and then I took it to them. And
he didn't mail it. He would be lost in the mail.
It didn't sit too well with them because they called up their lawyers and told me to find a lawyer or representative for me to justify my days to come and worship, because I wasn't objecting to working. I was just objecting for them just to give me a single day where I would just come back and spend some time with God, our day of rest, which is Saturday. And I was really, really clear about that. So that didn't sit too well with them, and a couple of days later, they summoned me to their offices, and then I walked in. It was a room full of six lawyers and the general manager and I by myself. God made wonders. By the end of the meeting, they decided I was going to keep my job, and they weren't going to schedule me to work on Saturday. That was on a Thursday. But the next Friday, when I came back to work, they had scheduled me to work on Saturday. So I didn't show up. And then they let me go. So I was really worried, like, what am I doing? All along, I've just been praying diligently and honestly to God to show me the way. Because, believe it or not, when I was a young man, I used to think by age 30, I would be a millionaire. So I'm right here. And that wasn't going too well as planned. So I lost that job, and I kept praying that God to show me a way that I could just go forward, because I didn't want to look weak in front of my wife, or we just had an uncertainty about our whole situation. And gladly, God opened up doors and he answered my prayer. He gave me a job where I get all my 40 hours by Thursday. So I only work from Monday till Thursday, and then I'm off Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And it's a blessing because I get to spend all this time with my family now and still provide for them, and I'm really, really grateful for that. The other thing is, I'm coming from a situation from where I was asking God to give me time just to come to church. But at this new job, I have a sister who's amongst us here that she's an Adventist too, because she's here and she works with me. So every time I look at her, I just see hope, because God is just merciful and just gracious to us. So every time I see her, I see there's hope because there's an Adventist there with me. I'm coming from a situation where I couldn't worship to a situation where I have a coworker who's my church member. And on top of it, we have a Bible study at my job on Thursday. I mean, you cannot beat that.
Amen. And by the way, he may want to keep going, but I'm going to say to be continued.
Yes.
Yeah. He's going to be back up here again. I know you have more stories to tell.
I can't even finish right now, but thank you. That's just it.
Praise God. Thank you. You know how we have a story Saturday night for Vespers, and when we get to the most exciting part, we say to be continued. Okay. So at this time, I would like to invite the ushers to take up today's offering. Our loving Father, thank you for providing for each of our needs. Thank you for showing us how to give, because Jesus, you gave your Son to die for us and to minister to us right now in heaven. Thank you, Father, for these funds that come in. May they be to a blessing for everyone that needs them. In Christ's name, amen.
Reading is John chapter 13, verses 5 to 8. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. Then he came to Simon Peter, and Peter said to him, "Lord, are you washing my feet?" Jesus answered and said to him, "What I'm doing you do not understand now, but you will know after this." Peter said to him, "You shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered him, "If I do not wash you, you have no part with me."
Can you hear me now? All right. I don't think I will be using slides this morning because I'm going to adapt my message a little bit, and slides are notorious for keeping you on track. So I'm going to skip the slides. I didn't have that many anyway. Just give me a moment. Yeah, I didn't have that many. All right, here we go. I named my message Buried Alive this morning. Some time ago, a businessman in Mexico was wrongly pronounced dead. And so in due course of time, he was buried. And they didn't realize that he was still alive. And before long, someone who was on an evening stroll through the cemetery heard knocks coming from the new grave and reported it to the police. And finally, an order was given to exhume the grave, and they discovered that the glass top of the coffin had been broken. And the person in the coffin had been buried alive. And later, he regained consciousness, and after a frantic struggle, he had died of suffocation. Now, when I read that story, I realized how important it is to make sure that there is death before burial. Would you agree with that? I think that's fairly important. Now, in a few moments, you will see that this is one of the greatest reasons for failure in the Christian life, that there isn't death before burial. John chapter 19 describes the last moments of Jesus' life. Jesus was hanging on the cross, and in verse 30, it says that he died. There in John 19, verse 30, it says, when he had received the drink, Jesus said, "It is finished. It is finished." And with that, he bowed his head and he died. He gave up the breath. Now, just as surely as Jesus is alive today, Jesus was truly dead before he was buried on that Friday. He was truly dead. In England, there is a century-old organization called the Society for the Prevention of Premature and Cofferment Burial and Cremation. A rather interesting society. When the organization first started, they came up with a variety of ways of dealing with their premature burial anxiety. And one way was to place crowbars and shovels in the caskets. If they revived, they could dig themselves out. Some deceased relatives even had a pipe installed through the ground and into the casket to be used for emergency communications. And wealthy families even hired people to wait by the grave, by the pipes, and listen if someone called for help. Now, wealthy families who wanted their dead to stay that way had yet another option. They coffins were fitted with special nails that when they were hammered in, they would release or puncture capsules of poison gas. So as you can see, where there is a will, there is a way. We all agree that there should be death before burial. This is especially true in the spiritual sense. The old sinful man, a person, must die. And so you can have new life. It says in Romans chapter 6, Romans chapter 6, verses 4 and 5, deal with the issue of burial and new life in the Christian life. And it says there in Romans 4, verses 6, 6 verses 4 and 5, do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. This scripture from Romans 6 tells us that we enter the Christian life through baptism, which symbolizes that the death and burial of self comes before new life in Christ. But history is littered with examples of Christians being buried alive because self did not die. The old man did not die. The old man went down into the water alive and came up alive and well. And that could be a problem in a church, couldn't it? Because when people are buried alive, when self does not die, they cannot rise to a new life with Jesus Christ. And so instead of dying to self, they decide to make a few modifications of the old life and a few band-aids here and there. They decide on a do-it-yourself approach, where cosmetic changes are made, where much time is spent basically trying to charge their own power. But it doesn't really work. And so you have two kinds of Christians. You have those who are like a beautiful bouquet of cut flowers, and then you have those who are like potted plants. And they're all beautiful at the beginning. But after a few weeks, the beautiful cut flowers wither and die, and while the potted ones will still thrive. And what's the difference? The difference is that the potted ones have roots. And that's their power source. Or that's their connection to the power source. In September of 2004, Casey Neistat of New York City discovered that the battery in his first generation iPad, it was a 5 gigabyte iPad, it could no longer hold the charge for more than an hour. And so he called Apple Computer, and unfortunately for him, Apple basically advised him to buy a new iPad. And the prices at that time ranged from $300 to $500 because they didn't have a battery replacement policy in place at the time. Well, to put it mildly, Neistat was upset. And so he decided that since Apple wasn't going to replace the battery for him, he'd do it himself. So he bought an off-brand battery for about $50, and he sat down to open his iPad, and immediately he broke it. Now, it didn't matter what kind of battery he had, it would never work again. And Neistat was so upset and so angry that he started an internet site that was called iPadsDirtySecret.com. And it featured a video of him spray painting a phrase all over New York City. And the phrase he spray painted was, iPods, unchargeable, unreplaceable battery lasts only 18 months. And he put up all over New York City, iPads, unreplaceable battery lasts only 18 months. And well, that got Apple's attention. And they began to offer a replacement policy for $99. Now, too many people try a do-it-yourself approach to Christianity, but it will not work. It will not work. Eventually, they will realize that their lives are permanently broken unless they turn to God. And God has in place a plan where he offers to take out, to remove the old life source. He offers to remove the sin that powers our lives. It's like removing an old battery that is going to decay and die. And then he replaces it with a new battery, with a new life source. In other words, before there is going to be life, new life, that is, there needs to be death, burial, removal of the old life source, self. Self. And when we overcome the fear of dying to self, and allow God to install a new life source in us, then God's promise to Ezekiel in Ezekiel 36, verse 26, comes true. And it says there in Ezekiel 36, verse 26, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. And so, we talked about Romans 6 earlier. What Romans 6 was trying to tell us is, once God has given you a new battery, don't try to put that old battery back in. Don't try hooking up the battery of your sinful past along with the new one that God gave you. Just like the iPod, we are not designed to run on two different power sources simultaneously. You either have to hook yourself up to your sinful past or to your godly future. You can't do both. The old life needs to die and be buried, and it needs to remain dead. Now, Romans 6 again, let's look at verses 12 and 13 for a moment. It says, therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lust, and do not present your members as instruments of righteousness to sin. Unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. So don't put that old battery back in. It may have seemed like it gave you power in the past. It may have given you some thrills. It may have given you some music, if you will, to your life. I'm thinking iPad now. And it might have kept you entertained for a while. But after the thrill and the music and the entertainment died away, all you're left with was a distressing sense of disappointment and dissatisfaction. And that's why we come to Christ to begin with. We want something better than what we had. Whenever you send an iPad into Apple, you lose all the old music that was stored there. They send you a different, a refurbished iPod sometimes instead of your old one. And even if they send you the old one back, the music will still be gone, because when they replace the battery, the music disappears. And then you have to put on new songs. When you surrender yourself to God, you surrender the old songs. God gives you a new sense, a new set of songs. Songs that will not depress you. Songs that will not give you a feeling of sadness and shame. Now I'm speaking metaphorically here. As David wrote in Psalm 40, verse 3, he put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. That's what God is willing to do with you, give you a new song. The old life is dead, and you have a new life in Jesus Christ. And so we have been baptized into Christ, the old life is buried. But then in the weeks and the months and the years after your baptism, you're going to slip and you're going to fall. Do you need to be rebaptized all over again? Reburied? The answer is yes. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 31, the Apostle Paul said that he died daily. It's a daily thing. Fortunately, Jesus holds the patent on a service that we will participate in a few moments here. He holds the patent on a service that basically replaces baptism after you've been baptized. It's a miniature baptism that reminds us of our daily need to die to self. It's called the foot washing service. In John chapter 13, you can see the evidence that Jesus took out a new invention. The foot washing service, also called the ordinance of humility. He washed his disciples' feet. It was something very new and something very important. And this miniature baptism symbolizes both dying to self by burying your feet in the water, as well as selflessly serving others by humbly washing their feet. It's a beautiful symbol of death and burial and selflessness that are meant to prepare us for receiving the new life that is symbolized by the communion service that comes afterwards. So this is a high Sabbath, isn't it? This is a time for a communion. And you know, people ought to be here because this is important, right? This is where we renew our wedding vows, if you will, where we renew our spiritual covenant with Jesus Christ. The foot washing service reminds us that we must die to our old way of life before we can experience a new life at the communion service. We don't want people to come and experience this service and then go away unchanged. And to do that, the first thing I need to do is to pray that God will slay, that He will kill, that He will mortify the old way of life in me. That He will extract it from me and give me a new life. So when you place your feet under the water at the foot washing service here this morning, You are in effect publicly stating that you are burying your own life again. You're publicly asking the Lord to take away the sins of the old life. So have you been struggling with sins or sinful tendencies lately? Well, surrender that part of your life to God this morning. Let self be certified to be buried, to be dead and buried. And only then can we come up in a newness of life. I'm going to conclude here. The foot washing service is a service that is found in the scripture. Jesus gave us the example. And the Bible says we should wash one another's feet. And we have open communion here in the Seventh-day Adventist Church. We invite anybody to participate in this service. If you have never been part of the foot washing service, you can come and observe and be part of it that way. And then we're coming back here to participate in communion together. You're welcome to participate, whether you are a member or not. We leave it up to each individual conscience whether or not you are ready to participate. No one here is going to make that decision for you. It's between you and God. And so I hope and pray that you and I will experience the full life that Jesus intended for us. And before we go into the foot washing service, I invite you to pray with me as I invite the Lord to eradicate, to rid us of that old life. Let's pray. Dear Father, please get rid of the bad things in our life. Kill the old person of sin, the old man of sin, the old woman of sin inside of us. Give us the new spiritual nature of Christ. We surrender the old life to you, asking you to kill it and bury it so that we may experience today a newness of life beyond anything that we have experienced before. For we ask this in the precious name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen. So at this time, we will divide up. We will go into fellowship hall. The ladies will be in fellowship hall. The men will be in the classroom in the hallway to your left, and couples will be in our library. So just if you wonder where these things are, just follow. Song number 158, were you there? Broken things. We start when we're early. We break our toys. Children break their toys. And then later on, we realize there are broken promises and broken confidences. And parents have their hearts broken because of wayward children. A wife may have her heart broken because of an unfaithful husband or vice versa. Broken homes, broken bodies, hopes, health, broken lives, all because of sin. And God sent His Son into this world so that the fragments can be put back together, so that the broken world might be mended. And He said, I will make all things new. But in order to accomplish that, Jesus Himself had to be broken. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And this was represented in the emblem of the broken bread and the cup of the red juice that was made from crushed grapes. And by receiving these emblems, we state our willingness to accept salvation and to accept a new life in Christ. At this time, one of our elders, Kevin Bryant, will lead us in prayer before we receive the emblem of the broken bread.
I'm reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23 and 24. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, and that the Lord Jesus
different things he brought me and said, take it, this is my body, which is broken for you, do this in remembrance of me. We'll kneel in here.
Join if you want.
Dear Jesus, as we are here partaking of this service that you put in place 2,000 years ago at your first disciples, we want to follow your example and partake of this bread that symbolizes your broken body on Calvary, and the life that you poured out freely for us. We can never thank you enough through the ceaseless, endless age of eternity for what you've done and continue to do for us. So we do come now and thank you in Jesus' name.
Amen. We will sing another verse of the same song and then share a testimony or two. Has a praise or a thanksgiving, an experience with Jesus that you would like to share at this time? Yes, please. Amy. Amen. Amen. Is there another one? Go ahead, Shannon. Amen. Yes, please. God is our sustainer and provider. Amen. Yes, Lori? Amen. What you're sharing is, you know, again, Amy was looking for work. She was concerned about that, but she was still selflessly serving others. And God has blessed her with a job. You know, God is our provider, and He will reward our faith. And He always does. Let us now continue our communion service. Jesus said, take and eat. At this time, Dan Tierney, another elder in our church, will read scripture and lead us in prayer regarding the grape juice, the emblem of the Jews.
I'm reading from 1 Corinthians
12, verse 25. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come." Shall we kneel in? Those who want can kneel in prayer. Father, we thank you for this emblem, this reminder of your death that you gave to save us. We thank you for your love for us, that you came down from heaven and that you spent 33 years on this sinful planet and then died that we might live again with you. We thank you for the hope that you give us through this, and we come in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Let's sing one more verse of our song.
Sometimes it causes me to forget.
Josephine, I think you had a testimony to share. Amen. Amen. Yes, please, in the back. Yes. And Thomas. I think, go ahead, Thomas. All right. Thank you. All Jesus said, drink of it. After their service was over, after their meal was over, The disciples went out, and they went to the Mount of Olives, and the Bible says they were singing hymns before they went out. If you've been blessed today, please join us as we sing a hymn together. But also, as you leave, after we sing our hymn, there will be deacons at the door, and they will be taking up an offering so we can help those among us who have needs. And so there will be an offering at the door after the service. So let's sing our closing hymn, number 412. Thank you, loving Heavenly Father, for your amazing love and your amazing grace. Thank you that you have given us all a new beginning. Thank you that you have promised us daily strength, daily wisdom as we walk in the footsteps of Jesus. Thank you, Father, that we have access to the Holy Spirit and to all the treasures of heaven. And we pray that you will guide each one of us as we walk with you this week. In Jesus' name, amen.